Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. April is Autism Awareness Month, and I have teamed up with Future Horizons, the world leader in books, DVDs, and conferences on autism and Asperger's syndrome, to bring you incredible authors all month. Many kids have some form of SPD, sensory processing disorder, but who can help them overcome their daily struggles? Wait, they can help themselves. Linda Farrington Wilson, along with Tyler and some delightful illustrations, help kids help themselves through daily life like no one has before with some great everyday tips and techniques. Today, Linda is here to talk about her terrific book, Squirmy Wormy, How I Learned to Help Myself. My 5.5-year-old daughter with sensory issues loves Squirmy Wormy, and so do I. Linda Farrington Wilson has 25 years of experience that spans copywriting and design for advertising, promotional media and publicity, and creative account management for national and international clientele, a tenured marketing vice president. Steadfast in a new direction, she is relishing in a career as a writer, children's book author, illustrator, and potter, accepting projects that challenge and inspire. She is certified in the affected-based language curriculum and has created Art Friends, a unique social skills class model providing sensory and social experiences through the arts. Linda and her husband have three sons, the youngest a funny, brilliant sensory seeker with high-functioning autism. He, along with his equally brilliant older brother, has provided the impetus to write and illustrate her new book, Squirmy Wormy, and given her the inspiration and joy to advocate on behalf of autism awareness, including its challenges and its blessings. Linda, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's wonderful to have you, Linda. I mentioned in the introduction that both my daughter and I love your book. We think it's fantastic. And Paula Akia, BSCOT, an author of Building Bridges Through Sensory Integration and also a past guest on It's Your Health, writes, quote, "This colorful book captures how overwhelming sensation can be to children with SPD through gorgeous and imaginative pictures. The reader will learn about SPD and learn strategies to help calm the nervous system of a child who experiences a disorganized sensory world." Linda, your son Tyler is in the book, and we are seeing the way he experiences the world and how he shows other children and adults how they can help themselves. What was your journey with Tyler like to find these tools?
Well, I'm assuming that our family's journey is a very typical one. You know, early on, you know that something may not be quite right with your child, and you sort of look at the situation squinting with one eye open, kind of holding your breath, and thinking that maybe tomorrow he'll look me in the eye or point to an airplane going overhead or say mommy for the first time. Tyler was diagnosed at 2.5 years old with PDD-NOS, and since then the diagnosis has been changed to full-blown high-functioning autism and sensory processing disorder. But around age 5 is when we really dove into the sensory processing area, and that made such a huge difference for all of us.
It's just as if
the lights came on. So rather than bucketing every behavior he had, an issue and challenge into a quote-unquote autism bucket, which really gave us no explanations nor interventions, by addressing his sensory needs, for the first time we could now evaluate and understand and provide interventions for him, and that the more that his sensory needs were addressed, the more his quote-unquote autism behaviors would subside. And so through the addressing his sensory needs, he became more present, more connected to our world, and clearly more comfortable in his own skin.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, you know, I read in an interview you did online that while you were seeking therapies for Tyler, you were frustrated by what you call the autism black hole. What does that mean?
There was a lot of frustration around looking at these what would be called behaviors for Tyler, and, you know, what people addressed as his quote-unquote behaviors. So, you know, when he was diagnosed with autism, I kept researching to see, you know, why he did the things he did and try to gain some insights into it, which, you know, is probably very consistent with every mom that gets this diagnosis. But I would ask professionals questions like, you know, why does he spin the wheels on his cars, and why does he watch ceiling fans spin? All behaviors that are very typical for kids with autism, especially very early on in their diagnosis. And why does he stare at the rolling credits on the television? And the answer from all the professionals I would talk with was always the same. Well, it's because he has autism. You know, that's what he does. But that just was not a good answer for me. I referred to it as this autism black hole, because there had to be a reason for his actions. And I just kept, you know, intuitively felt as if there had to be some, you know, counteraction to his actions.
Yes.
And that's
what you found, apparently.
And we did. And then once we were able to do that, we gained, you know, control of the autism. And the things that he did, we could take socially behaviors that were not really socially acceptable, like sitting underneath a ceiling fan and watching it spin, to doing, you know, interventions like putting him on the merry-go-round at the park, which is a socially acceptable behavior, but providing him with the same stimulus that he needed.
I see. Well, you know, your book is so incredible. I mean, you just, the illustrations, the descriptions, you know, you have so many wonderful different sensory strategies in Squirmy Wormy. And, for example, quote, sometimes I feel like I need to run really fast. Run, 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 run. But what I really need is a squeeze in the couch cushions like a hot dog to calm me down. Woo, I feel better. I need a squeeze. Or bear hugs, or carrying the laundry basket, or crashing into my beanbag, or rolling on a big ball on my belly. And page after page, you have these different strategies that the children can do for themselves, which is empowering.
And that was really one of the critical pieces in creating the book, was it started out as a social story for Tyler. It didn't start out as, I'm going to write a book for children with SPD or autism. It started out as a means for Tyler and I to communicate with each other, that I knew that the best sensory diet are diets that are child-led, that if you can watch to see what their needs are and what they're going towards is where you have the more successful sensory diets. But at the time, Tyler had very little language, so I just created these very colorful social stories with a lot of detail in the pictures, because many of our kids are very visual, and I thought it was important, even as I moved forward to publish the book, that this book be and these strategies be available for even our nonverbal children, where they can just point to a picture on one page that shows, you know, what their need is. If they're running, or their hands are doing floppy pinchies.
Oh, I love that one.
And then on the other page, they can see, you know, what the strategy is,
mm-hmm.
and be able to see a much calmer face and a calmer picture. So the high visual and the high details and the illustrations was an important part of it. But it was really originally created as a social story for Tyler.
Wow. Now, people who aren't familiar, what is a social story?
A social story is a strategy that we use for children with autism to help them, again, visually, to create stories, and they're usually done with, like, little stick figures and things, where you can explain the situation to them, mm-hmm. and also alter the outcome. So if it's a behavior that's not really an acceptable behavior, you can show them, this is what happened, but this is what should have happened. And you're really making the stick figures talk to what should happen.
Mm-hmm.
So social stories are a very powerful way to help teach our kids with autism some, you know, different scenarios in a very graphic way.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that about the different scenarios. Like if you have to go to a special church service, or if you have to, you know, what's going to happen at school, or if you're going somewhere new, and you can kind of use that story so there's not as much, you know, what's going on.
That's right, because there's always that rigidity that we have with our kids on the spectrum. And so this just kind of helps ease that a little bit. So with Squirmy Wormy, it was a way to communicate, to understand, you know, help Tyler learn to self-regulate. Because I think that's the ultimate, is when our kids can start to realize independently that I'm doing this, but what I really need is, versus watching the credits go up and down on the television, I really need to get on my trampoline and jump. You know, because truly it's the same vestibular input that you're getting, whether you're watching credits roll or you're jumping up and down and your whole world is rolling because you're jumping up and down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, it's funny because with my daughter, she's not as sensitive to loud sounds, but she knows now that now, you know, if I'm going to turn on the Vitamix, which is, you know, a really powerful blender, or make it turn on the garbage disposal or something, she'll say, "Mommy, I'm going to plug my ears and go in the other room." You know, so it's like, oh, so it's really nice. Like, she can take responsibility, or she'll say, "I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm going to go sit in my room and have some quiet time now." You know, or something.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It's really nice. Because for
and
years,
I think that
we had to do all of it, you know, the parents.
That's correct. And even, you know, still there's a lot of adults that don't actually know exactly what they need.
Yeah, she's pretty in touch. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's no different than adults that, you know, chew on their pencils or
move their legs a lot.
Right,
yeah.
Or move their legs a lot.
Yeah.
They're for some reason needing some sensory response to organize their brains and to process information. And so with our kids, it's just, you know, to a much greater degree.
Now, you know, I love the way you really got into Tyler's character and you see the world from his point of view. How was that for you?
It was awesome. It was awesome. I continue to try to understand Tyler's world. And to understand, you know, where he's coming from. I think our kids on the autism spectrum are just the most amazing individuals, and that their approach to the world is, you know, very unique, wonderfully honest, and, you know, there's just so much brilliance in what they do and how they think. But I think that, you know, getting into their minds and getting into their world, it's challenging, but certainly rewarding.
In an online interview I read recently, you talk about your most defining moment while illustrating Squirmy Wormy. Can you share that story with us?
Sure. My most defining moment was when I was illustrating one of the pages in the Squirmy Wormy book where Tyler is saying, "Yeah, sometimes I feel like things are running around in my head so fast that they just don't make sense." And so I have a picture of Tyler, and his head is huge, and it's all the different things that were, you know, important to him, from computers to railroad crossing signs to pizza and Slurpees and Pooh Bear and all the things that were in his world. And he was standing at the side of the art table, and he pointed to the picture at the time when he did not really comment on anything. He would answer your questions, but not really comment. And he pointed to the picture and said, "That's Tyler."
Oh,
and I said, "Is that how you feel when your head is mixed up?" And we use the term your head being mixed up for that's our term for being sensory overloaded. And he said, "Yes." So I knew then for the first time that I had really crossed over into his world, and I just continue to do that. You know, for me, it's such a privilege to be let in to see that awesomeness and, you know, complexity of his mind. So it is a very rewarding experience. And on those days, you know, that I was meant to experience a small miracle, he'll respond with an insightful answer when I ask a question, and I'll see, it's like peeling back the layers of an onion, right? And you get to see more and more insights and more understanding, and I just feel like it gets us to a closer place.
That is so beautiful. Your book is beautiful. It's just so fantastic. I mentioned Paula Akia, the OT, who is the author of Building Bridges Through Sensory Integration. And I also wanted to mention that on the front of the book, you have this wonderful little blurb from Temple Grandin. Squirmy Wormy is a cute and funny picture book that will help elementary school children understand sensory problems. She's fantastic. I love Temple.
I do, too. She's my hero.
Oh. And, Linda, how can people contact you and learn more about you?
They can go through to my website. That's at www.lindafarringtonwilson.com.